This is the Sri Krishna Vrijbasi Kurukshetra Milan Leela, the meeting of Krishna with the Vrijbasis at Kurukshetra. After a long separation, Krishna left Vrindavan when he was 11 years old, and then he didn't return again until about 100 years later, after Kurukshetra war. And after killing Dantavakra, Shalva and Dantavakra, he killed Shalva outside of Dwarka. Then Dantavakra was one demon who decided to attack Mathura. And Krishna heard about it, so he came to Mathura to retaliate. And he defeated Dantavakra. Dantavakra, Vakra means bent, like Trivakra, Ashtavakra. Danta means teeth. He killed him outside of the entrance to entrance gates to Mathura. Then afterwards, there's a village there you can see today. It's called Datiha. It's over 5,000 years of time. Then the word got altered and changed in various ways. It used to be Dantavakra Gram. Now it's called Datiha. Ha means to take away or to kill. And Dati refers to Dantavakra. So Krishna, that was when he was about 100 years later, because there's some curse or something that will be separated for 100 years, the gopis and Krishna. But when Krishna left Vrindavan, he was about 11 years old, 10 years and 7 months or so. And then he went to Mathura for 19 years, and then, or 18 years. At the age of 38, he moved to Dwarka. And Dwarka, he stayed for about 100 years. And when Krishna was about 90 or 100, the battle of Kurukshetra took place with Arjuna and Duryodhana, the Pandavas and the Kauravas, and the fratricidal civil war, which was decided conclusively in the favor of the Pandavas because they had Krishna on their side. And Arjuna, Yatra Yogeshwara Krishna, Yatra Partho Dhanurdhara, wherever there is Krishna, the supreme mystic, and Arjuna, the supreme devotee or archer, there will certainly be power, opulence, wealth, and victory. So Jita Krishna was again victorious in the battle of Kurukshetra to save his devotee Arjuna and all the glorious Pandava Bhaktas and Queen Kunti and Draupadi. And again they became the rightful kings of the world. But long before this, and sometime after, the first time that Krishna ever reunited and met again with the gopis was at Kurukshetra, not when he was 100 years old at the battle of Kurukshetra, but when he was about 50. Krishna was about 50 years old, Pachasal. And 50, so he was about 50 or 60 years old. He came to Kurukshetra with all the residents of Dwarka. Rohini was there, Vasudev, Devaki, Ugrasen maybe remained back. But they all came and to meet all the Yadavas and Brishnis and all the great devotees, family members of Krishna living in Mathura and other parts. Nanda Maharaj and the gopis and Vrishabhanu and everyone, they got the idea that they heard the news that Krishna was coming to Dwarka. I mean, coming from Dwarka to Kurukshetra. So then they all packed up and decided to go. So we read briefly a little bit about that story. The story is actually mentioned that the meeting of Krishna, Krishna meets the inhabitants of Vrindavan, it's 10th canto of Bhagavatam, chapter 82. Then it continues to chapter 83, where the sages, because they spent some time there, at one purport it says that they spent the Vrijbasis and everyone stayed about 3 months there. So that's a long time. The eclipse, of course, the eclipse is only 2 muhurtas. 2 muhurtas is about an hour and a half. The actual event, last night there was an eclipse of the moon, Chandragrahan, and it started about 6 o'clock and 6:15 and was over, literally visible, the moon was visible again about 9:15, 9:30. So after about an hour and a half or 2 hours. The contamination period is like 12 hours, 6 to 6, and sometimes even before that they stop darshan, 9 hours before. So the actual eclipse that they went to attend in Kurukshetra was very short. The sun was eclipsed for an hour or so, But they were so happy to be with Krishna, and it was such a beautiful festive atmosphere. If you go somewhere to some party, or you go to some Rath Yatra festival, or some Janmashtami, it's so wonderful. There's music, there's drama, there's kirtan, there's drama, there's music and singing and dancing, a wonderful prasadam. And then you think, oh, we have to go now. We have to go back to Delhi. We have to go to Bombay, here and there, everywhere. The festival's over. But here, the festival went on not for a few hours of one day, but it went on 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, 3 months. They continued to stay there for 3 months. It was not their intention, but we have different intentions in life. But sometimes our intentions are overruled by our feelings. Even they have a phrase in English, the path to hell is paved with good intentions. So we have good intentions. We want to do the right thing and get up at 4 o'clock every day and chant Hare Krishna. But sometimes our intentions are not able to be expressed due to some other limiting factors, overpowering factors. Our intentions are sometimes overpowered by ignorance. So we sleep in and sleep on. Or our intentions are overcome by passion. We want to be sattvic and balanced and pure and true and honest. But in certain situations, and with certain individuals, and time and place and circumstance, Kaladesha and Pacha, we become overwhelmed by the place, or we become overwhelmed by the association or by the person. So then we get overwhelmed and maybe do what we don't want to do. So in this case, and maybe it's a wrong thing or a bad thing, but we can also, our intentions can be one thing and we can become overwhelmed and do something even better than our intentions. Interesting. Well, I have an intention. Intention means will, desire. I have an intention to go to the temple, take darshan and come back. I'll be back for dinner. But I went to the temple and I had darshan evening, 8 o'clock, artik. And then they said there was an all-night kirtan, it was Ekadasi. So I decided to stay with the brahmacharis and do a kunda kirtan all night. So then I did. So then there was no dinner that night, and it was just as well as Ekadasi. You should be a little austere. So there, it's a good situation came up where your intentions were overruled for the betterment. So Nanda Maharaj, he wanted to return to Vrindavan. He was a king, and he was away from his kingdom. And lakhs of cows were there, and all the coward boys, and he wanted to return to give the news and moreover to look after his kingdom. You can imagine if you're a businessman, you have your own little kingdom, your little house and your little business and your little contacts are like your subjects. And if you go away from them for 3 months, they may not be there. Your subjects or business contacts may have given up, and your house may be moved in by some squatters, and your business may have burned down. So 3 months away from your business is quite a lot. And there's no cell phones or this or that. But what happened was that Nanda Maharaj is overwhelmed by love. Krishna's love and Nanda Maharaj's love and Vasudeva's love and the love of the Vrishnis was so great. The parental love and friendly love of Vasudeva for Nanda and Rohini for Yashoda. And moreover, the bottom line was, of course, Radha and Krishna. Because now they're together in Kurukshetra. So to come for an eclipse and go back again after so much travel and so much difficulty, Dwarka is a long way away, and so is Vrindavan. And they hadn't seen each other for 50 years. So one day or one night couldn't quite even the scale. So Jiva Goswami very beautifully explains this pastime, and also Vishnu Chakravarti, in the Tikas of the 10th canto, he gives some very nice insights. So we hope in the next hour we can discuss some of those points, just to try to understand the this wonderful meeting of Krishna in Vrindavan, Krishna Kurukshetra, and also understand the position of the gopis and identify, because there's lots of feelings here of separation and there's lots of feelings of union. Just it's a beautiful pastime to remember and think about. This Kurukshetra is a very popular place, and often people go there as a pilgrimage. Most pious religious Indians from North India, at least once in their life, if not more, they'll go to Kurukshetra. Have you been? It's certainly well worth going to. It's about a 5-hour or so drive from Delhi. And it's famous because in the Bhagavad Gita, it's in the first verse of the Bhagavad Gita. Dharmik Kshetra Kurukshetra Mama Samveta Pandavacheva. That the Pandavas and the Kauravas gathered there at this place of pilgrimage, Dharmik Kshetra Kurukshetra. So now, but now it's not only a place of pilgrimage, it's a place of ras, it's a place of vilas. Externally, it's a place of blood and heads, chopped heads, and blood and dharma and all kinds of ghastly scenes in order to annihilate the miscreants and enemies and anti-party. But when Krishna was there with his beloved devotees, Krishna was there with the demons in Kurukshetra, and he annihilated them all. And Krishna was there with the pure devotees in the same place. The demons, he killed them, with the devotees, he loved them. And this is told in Gita. Parichanaya saranam vinashaya tutuskritam dharma samstarpanartaya sambhavami juge juge. So he says, Parichanaya saranam vinashaya tutuskritam. The duskritis are the demons. Krishna vinash, he annihilates them. Parichanaya saranam. But parichanaya sadunam. Parichanaya means to deliver. To deliver. Parichanaya, chanaya means to deliver. And pari means from all sides, from all angles. Parichanaya sadunam. But Krishna, he comes to this world to deliver the devotees. So he went to Kurukshetra and to Dharmakshetra. And what type of dharma did he display there with his gopis, with his devotees, like the gopis and Radha and Rohini and Yashoda Nanda and all the coward men? He displayed the parodharma. Parodharma, the paradharma, he displayed prema dharma. Dharmakshetra Kurukshetra, mama veta suyutsava. There in that Kurukshetra, there's a Dharmakshetra, but the ultimate dharma is prema dharma. Prema nam sankirtan, Krishna prema dharma, Krishna prema pamartha mahan. So there he showed that, and then when he came there 50 years later, when he's about 100, again at Kurukshetra, and then another type of dharma. Then it was Lokik dharma. Established a proper dharma was Sanatana dharma. But then doing Sanatana dharma, you have to annihilate the miscreants, kill the demons, and protect the devotees. So that we'll hear about this. And Dharmakshetra for the gopis and all Krishna's associates was Premakshetra. So Jiva Goswami tells very nicely how Krishna met everyone at Kurukshetra, which we started yesterday, and we're going to again read this. And it comes, of course, later in the Bhagavatam, the 10th canto, as I said, chapter 82 and 83. It should come a lot earlier, because in the interim chapters, after Mathura Leela and Dwarka Leela, then during Dwarka Leela, so many things happened, and some of the demons that Krishna killed in Dwarka Leela came after he went to Kurukshetra. There are certain ones I don't remember. But what happened was that Shukadeva Goswami was in the madness of prema, and he was simply speaking whatever came to his mind. Then Krishna killed this demon, and then that demon, and this one came, and that one came. So it wasn't working in a chronological order. That's like when you're in certain madness. What are you saying? You're saying everything you're talking about when you were a kid, then you're talking about your next life, and you're talking about... It doesn't make... Where are you going? You know, what's going on here? So then he said, oh yeah, well, there was another pastime. Krishna once met the Vrijavasis, and then he says it now. So before Krishna went to Kurukshetra from Dwarka, he sent a letter. He sent a letter to Vrindavan, a couple of letters. And who did he send a letter to? He sent a letter to his mother and father, Yashoda Nanda, and also to the gopis. Why? The greatest devotees are Yashoda, Nanda, and Vatsalya Bhav, and also the gopis and Madhurya Bhav. So he didn't send anything to the Sakas. The Sakas would all automatically be adjusted. So now, when Nanda Maharaj, when the letter came, he called a meeting in Nanda Baitak. Nanda Baitak is in Nandagram. And it's town hall, you could say the town hall. The town meeting hall. And all the men met there. And Krishna said, listen, I have received a letter from Lala, Nandalal. Everyone was amazed because they hadn't heard any, they hadn't received a letter in 50 years at all. Oh, Father, as long as I have not destroyed my enemies, as long as I've been killing, all this time I've been killing my enemies, and I've always been desiring and thinking, what is the means and how can we meet each other? By what arrangement, by what situation? But now I found the means. That Kurukshetra, everyone will be coming. There will be thousands of people there at Kurukshetra to attend the eclipse. Well, I can easily meet you by this arrangement. Because in one sense, there's certain people can only meet with certain people. Like sannyasis don't meet kings and vishayis. Like Lord Chaitanya wouldn't meet King Prataprudra because he represented money and woman, prestige and pride. King Prataprudra. So now Krishna is a king. He's the son of Vasudeva, Kshatriya. And for him to come and meet some abhira, abhira means a very simple and simple Vaishya, coward man, doesn't look so good. Like the prime minister goes to Delhi, says, I'm going to meet one rickshawala, I'm going to meet one cowman. He said, what? You know, your servant can, what do you want with him? Your servant can go there. So he was a little, Krishna was a little nervous about his image in Dwarka. And Vrindavan, there's no image. There's no image making. There's no advertising, no PR program. He's just being himself, dear Lita Nayak. But now in Dwarka, Krishna's profiling, so to speak, as they say. He's cutting a profile. Rajavesh. He's a king, so he was saying, well, here, everyone's there, so I can't, no one can find fault me or criticize. Oh, you've gone there? You've left Dwarka to go to some village? Some cow dung village in the middle of UP and nowhere? To meet some simple farmer? What is this? Very strange behavior. Kurukshetra, Dharmakshetra, because it's been Dharmakshetra since Satyuga. Demigods used to come there. The Dharmakshetra, Kurukshetra, and it was always called Dharmakshetra, then it became Kurukshetra. Just like this place was originally, Radhakund was called Aristasura Gram, the place where Aristasura was killed by Krishna for so many thousands of years. And then it became shortened to Aritagram. Arita, Aritagram. And that went on for 4,000 or 500 years or so. Then 500 years ago, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu discovered, unveiled, or revealed Radhakund, Shyamakund. And then after that, it became known as Sri Radhakund. So all the road signs and maps and everything, they say Radhakund. And the rickshawalas and tangawalas and taxiwalas in Mathura station and Vrindavan. Radhakund, Radhakund, Radhakund. Govardhan, Govardhan, Govardhan. If you're in Govardhan, then they say, because if you're Govardhan and 5 kilometers north is Radhakund. Radhakund, Radhakund, Radhakund. And you say, yeah, Radhakund, Radhakund, Radhakund. Radhakund, 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 Radhakund. Vas, or Kuchne. No other kunj, there's no other kund. Like they have places in Delhi called Vasant Kunj, and all these interesting idealistic names. It's nowhere near spring. It's nowhere near beautiful. There's no Vasant Kusum flowers there. Vasant Kunj. And where's the Kunja? It's only cement, asphalt, brick, steel, and cars. So the kunjas, the real kunjas, are here. So in a letter, he said, great, I'll come. And then Krishna, he goes on in his letter, he said, listen, Nanda, oh Nanda, Bhava, you know that the cows of Braj are my very heart, and my Gopa friends, they're my very life, my chitta and pran, the gaya are my chitta, they're my heart, my chitta, and the coward boys are my pran, Gopa pran, pran gopas, pran gopal, there's a name like that, pran gopal. But listen to me, they should remain in Braj. My coward boyfriends should remain in Braj with all my cows. They should not come to see me at Kurukshetra. So, because they were, you'll find out, this is a little bit suspense, you'll find out very soon why Krishna wrote in his letter, because Krishna is Trikalagya. He knows the past, present, and future, and he knows what he wants to do in the future. So many people, they say, I'm going to do this in the future. And they're moving this around and that in the present time or space. They're moving this person here and that person there, and moving this object here and that object there. And no one really knows the rhyme or reason of what they're doing. What are they doing? Because no one knows, they're not revealing their plan. A sober, grave person doesn't reveal his plan until it's revealed. The plan reveals itself. He quietly moves, he calculates and moves with the inspiration of God. Do this, do that. Everyone say, why is he going there? Why am I going there? Why is this happening? And all of a sudden, oh, now I see. Oh, this was what was supposed to happen. And this went like this, and that went like that. It all falls into place. Now I understand the puzzle. When the pieces are all over the floor, it's okay, put this together. Oh, okay. What is it? Well, you won't know until you put it together. You put this piece of puzzle and that piece, and oh, look at that. You know, it's Sevakunj or whatever. It's a puzzle of Sevakunj. Little trees there, and this little square piece of water, this is Lita Kund, and this little round building like place, this is Ranga Mahal, and this little part here, this is Ras Mandal. Like this, they have puzzles like this of places. And so you'll see very soon why Krishna is asking the Gopa boys to stay back. You stay back. Because service and separation is also very powerful. So after encouraging and inviting all of his relatives, his mother and father and other well-wishers in that Vatsalya mode or bhav, then Krishna sent a second letter of Rahasyavad Likana. He wrote a very secret letter to the gopis. And he's reminding them of something they are not sure it's really happening, because Prabhupada says in Krishna book that when Krishna went to Mathura and on to Dwarka, that he stayed, of course, in Vrindavan, but he stayed in Bhavavesh, in a body made of bhav. Prem Bhav, Madhura Prem. But externally, no one could see him. But they could experience his moods and feelings. But actually, it's told in Garga Samhita and other places, and here in Gopal Champu and Ananda, maybe Ananda Vrindavan Champu, that Krishna, when he was in Mathura for 18 years and 100 years or so in Dwarka, he was regularly coming every night and meeting with the gopis. Because this was their primary time together in the most intimate way. They were together in the afternoon and the Radhakund Leela, Madhyan Leela, very intimate, confidential Leela, is considered even more exhilarating and more fulfilling and satisfying than the Ratri Leela at the same time period. And 11:36 in the morning to 3:36 in the afternoon is the Madhyana Leela at Radhakund. Van Vihar, Holi, Madhupan, drinking honey wine, and Rasalila, and everything is there. And Jalkeli, and Bhojan, and so many things. But then again, at the same time period at night, Ratri Leela, 11:36 at night till 3:36 in the morning, then it's the Ratri Leela, Rasakrita, Rasalila, and Holi, and Madhupan, and Pashakela, and all these same pastimes. But he wasn't coming in a day because he was a little busy over there in Dwarka with his official duties and royal responsibilities as the king of Dwarka. But at night, when he was supposedly sleeping with his 16,108 queens, then he left. He left and he traveled. He left one form there in his original Purnatam Bhagavan form of Krishna. Purnatam Bhagavan, Vrindavan Sri Krishna, Govinda Damodar Madhav. He came to Vrindavan, then he met the gopis and he danced with them. They went out for the rasa dance and he danced with them. Business as usual, and they enjoyed and they relished, but they thought this is swapna, because we're dreaming. Sometimes we're dreaming, in our dream we're dreaming. Oh, I'm going to Radhakund, and then I'm seeing, you know, Radhakund and Govardhan, and then I go back and you wake up. Oh, where am I? It happens. If someone really wants to do something, so the gopis really want to meet with Krishna every night, and they really want to dance with him, but they think he's. Yogamaya makes them think that he's gone. And one level he has gone to Mathura and Dwarka. But then, so they take rest, they go to sleep. And in their sleep, they're with Krishna. So in his letter, he's reminding them that this is, we've been having a relationship every night as we were before for 11 years. It's been continuing for the last 40 years or 50 years. It's going on same way. But you think it's something different. So he says, though my secret meeting with you every night in Vrindavan is always very delightful, you are not aware of that meeting because you think it is merely a spurti, a vision, that you're meditating. Oh, you're sitting in your bed. Oh, where's my Krishna? Krishna. Oh, they're having some vision. You think it's only spurti. But now, my beloved gopis, at Kurukshetra, let us at least meet once again together in order to maintain our lives. So when they got this letter, then all the gopis became very excited, the elderly and younger gopis. Yashoda and Radha and all the gopis were very eager to go. Now, the gopis, of course, they have their so-called husbands, apparent husbands, Abhimanyu, Govardhan Mala, etc. And it was, they were a little nervous about this upcoming event. Everyone was preparing to go to Kurukshetra. The gopis were talking about it. Their wives, of course, were talking about, oh, we're going to Kurukshetra. And the Yadavas are coming and the Vrishnis are coming. And everyone will meet there, which means, and also that one will be there, that undesirable one. That dark fellow, that questionable character. And our wives are seeming to be, they seem to be more excited than they've ever been before. They're really excited and really enthusiastic to go to Kurukshetra. So they were quite anxious about that. And they saw that the gopis in separation from Krishna for so long, their wives were practically dying because of their intense utkantita bhav, their intense hankering and yearning, oh, when we can meet Krishna again, when will we see him again? And they also could see, and as they're looking around them, it became very evident to these so-called husbands of the gopis, their in-laws, that not only their wives were completely overwhelmed with enthusiasm, but everyone around them, the elderly, the youngerly, the gopis, the gopas, they're all so excited and jumping for joy and so much anticipating and bubbling over with enthusiasm to rush off to Kurukshetra to meet this fellow, this dark fellow. And they were seeing that there's no way, they realize that there's no possibility of stopping their wives from going there because everyone's going. And the peer pressure is immense and their desire is gargantuan. So they gave up all their interest in trying to stop the gopis this time. They've always been effectively stopping the gopis from going to Krishna, but they thought, this is like trying to stop a tidal wave going out to the ocean. Stop, tidal wave! Just washed away. So then Nanda Maharaj, seeing that everyone was leaving his village, his kingdom, to run off to see Krishna, then he met with his so-called husbands. He said, listen, I have a small request as the king of Braj. Brajendra Nandan, or I am Brajendra, the Indra, the king of Braj. That you see all the ladies and everyone's rushing off to all the elderly men, elderly gopas like myself, and Upananda, Sunanda, Banu Maharaj, everyone, Vrishabhanu, Chandrabhanu, and so many of the ladies, they all want to rush off. So we have to go with them and we have to take a sizable army with us to protect our woman folk, as they say. But someone has to stay back here to protect all the gopas, the coward boys. Of course, they're grown up, young boys, young men, and all of our cows, because our cows are, it's our money. We have to protect our money. It's like Duryodhana attacked the king of Virat kingdom in Mahabharata. Duryodhana attacked him. He went to steal all of his cows, because cows are worth a lot of money. And that's the wealth of the Vaishyas. That's where they get their money and their wealth to give to the king. So he came to steal all those cows. And Brihanala was the eunuch. Arjuna is a eunuch. He went out there and called down his Gandiva and rallied the power of Gandiva and then chased him away. And that was actually the end of the 13th year of exile. He goes to Yodhan and said, this is Arjuna, I see. And then some Akashvani said, yes, but the 13 years is over right now. The sun has just gone into Uttarayan or whatever. It became a new Rashi. The year was measured by the Rashi, where the sun, what house it's in. So, no, but now the 13 years is over. So then there was no more exile. So the husbands, Nanda Maharaj said, so I want you please stay back in Braj and you guard all the boys and all the cows. So they reluctantly agreed. So this was a very nice arrangement. So Krishna had earlier sent a letter to the boys, to Nanda Maharaj. He said, tell the boys that they should not come. Because he knew that Nanda Maharaj would engage. That was if all the boys came, then there's only some cows. They could hire some soldiers or something. Because then the apparent husbands, so-called husbands, the gopis, could say, we have to go. Our wives are going. We can't leave them unprotected. And then someone else can, our army can stay back and protect the cows. No, but the boys. So then Krishna said, the boys stayed back in order to facilitate Krishna's private meetings with the gopis at Kurukshetra. This is a very nice arrangement. So now let's hear about Yashoda. She had so much strong affection and love for the gopis of Braj, and she understood how much they were suffering in separation from Krishna. So she asked Radharani and all the other gopis to go along with her and told them that they don't have to hide their secret anymore. They don't have to hide their secret love anymore because she knows it. Yashoda knows how much they're feeling separation from Krishna because she is also feeling. So she said, look, I empathize with you. Oh, you all come. Let's all of us go together. Yashoda. So then Radha was extremely emaciated at this time, and her senses were practically dried out because she was so much separated from Krishna. And when the Brijvasis, what was their, how excited they felt when they knew that they were going to Kurukshetra, just like children often get very excited if the parents say, oh, guess what, Radha, we're going to go to Disneyland. We're going to Disney World. We're going to Malaysia or wherever it is. And we're going to take you to Disney World and Mickey Mouse and all, and Daffy Duck and all this stupid stuff. They go, wow, wow. They get really excited. We're going on a vacation. Let's pack. I want to bring this too and that thing. And I have to bring my teddy bear and I have to bring this other teddy bear. And mother says, no, you don't bring all this stuff. No, forget it. I'm packing, and they're so excited. They go to school and they think, oh boy, two more days we're getting out of school and we're going on vacation here and there. So that in that same way, they were trembling in anticipation to go see Krishna. And the hairs of their body were standing on end, and all the Brijvasis were crying tears of bliss. Their teeth were actually chattering and clattering from their excitement. And they were actually in a confused state of minds. And even in Krishna's absence, it's told by Jiva Goswami, for all those long years, their bodies became very thin because they would forget to eat or sleep. But they were always engaged somehow or other in remembering and serving Krishna, even in his absence. So they never forgot Krishna. I never forgot to serve Krishna. I never forgot their service to Krishna, even in his absence. But they did forget their bodies. And they did forget to sleep, and to maintain their bodies. And they did forget to eat. So these are the things we should always remember, one thing and always forget another thing. Always remember Krishna and remember to serve him. And always forget your body and forget to eat and sleep. But unfortunately, it's the other way around. Mostly we're always remembering, oh, I ate breakfast, what will I have for lunch? I ate lunch, what will I have? We're never forgetting meals. We eat breakfast and start remembering lunch. And forget breakfast and remember lunch. Then we eat lunch and forget lunch and start remembering dinner. And then we forget dinner, and then we wake up, we start remembering, oh, breakfast, what should I have today? I had oatmeal yesterday. Today I want toast. No, I don't want toast. I want dosa. Yeah, dosa. Oh, can you make some dosa? Yes, Pati, I'll make dosa. Do you want coconut chutney? Or no, I want pineapple chutney. Yes, sir. Meals ready. Hotel on wheels. So now, somehow they arrived, and they collected all themselves, and they arrived. And Krishna was already there with his royal retinue of elephants, hati, ghori, palaki, Jai Kaniya Lalaki, Nandake Anandavai, Ajke Anandaki. This is Braj, every day is Anand, bliss. When Krishna and Balaram, when they arrived at Kurukshetra, although they arrived, it's described that they were wearing this Rajvesh, they were wearing all the gold and silk and fancy designed and tailored garments of kings. They actually abandoned all that and they became absorbed in Gopavesh, Gopabhavavesh, Brajagopa, Brajabhavavesh. They became absorbed in Brajabhav and again felt themselves and identified themselves as coward men, as coward boys. And Krishna Balaram sent all the kings to separate camps with an excuse. And said that my enemy, Krishna said, see, all I want to meet, I told all the kings, he said, please, you go to separate camps, because my enemies don't know that I'm friendly with the people of Braj. See, Krishna, when the enemies were getting too great and attacking Mathura, Krishna was nervous that they may attack his heart center. Just like the king, he has his prized palace, and an enemy can attack the outskirts or the hinterlands, what they call the hinterlands or the suburbs. But if he starts to move in on his private palace, then he gets a little nervous. Mm. Like you can attack Punjab, but if you attack the Golden Palace, then it's a little bit, people don't appreciate. That's the heart, the nerve center, the heart center of the Punjabis. And let's say at least the Sikh religion. It's a golden temple, they call it, an Amritsar. Amritsar, the essence of nectar. So he told them that you better go there, because the reason he went to Mathura, because he was nervous that the demons, Shishupal and all these Jarasan and all these powerful demons, if they came to understand that he was very close to the Brijvasis, in fact they were his very pran, and Praneshri Radharani was residing there, they would immediately come here to attack. They could circumvent Mathura and come in from the north, northeast side and invade Nandagram and annihilate all his dear and near ones. But they thought, well, he's a Mathura Vasi, he's Mathura Nath, and he has so many queens over here and so much royal influence, and he's a king and his father's here, let's attack there. Say, this Vrindavan, Nandagaon, that's some village, some UP village, and useless people are busy taking bong and just, you know, hearing Ramayana Pat and chanting Jai Shri Ram and this, that. You know. No one does anything over there. Chase a few cows. But Mathura, the streets are paved with gold and golden palaces and silk. And this is one of the richest cities in the world at one time. Even the 8th century A.D., 600 B.C. or A.D. or something like that. I don't know, way long ago. Long ago, some Chinese sailors had come here, Yu Si Tung, some famous Chinese explorers, and they chronicled all their travels they wrote. And they said, I came to India, and I went up the Ganga, then I took a tributary from Calcutta, went up the Ganga, took a tributary, and joined Yamuna. Yamuna took me to Mathura, because I heard about this city from the travelers and traders, different traders who come back and forth, India, China, trading route, by foot, by camel, bullock, camels primarily, camels, horses. So I heard that there's an amazing city of gold in Mathura. So he came, and it's in his diaries that I was amazed when I got there. And there's an excerpt from his diary that was put in a book. It's a very bona fide and authentic book, which is called Mathura District Memoirs. Mathura District Memoirs, written by F.S. Gross, G-R-O-W-S-E. He was the British government district magistrate for Mathura Mandal in 1896 or something, 1890 to 1900 or so. And he wrote a diary of what he experienced as the in charge of this place, about the Jat, the fighting Jat tribes, and this one and that one, and this palace, and this family and that family, the Mewar family, and the Purushottam Chobe Brahmins of Mathura. Very interesting. So it's in English, obviously, he was a British person. But he put an excerpt in there from this book, and he said that he reported that two amazing things the Chinese understood. One is that I never saw a more opulent city in the world than Mathura. The streets were solid gold and golden buildings and everything. But that was amazing in itself, so much incredible opulence. What was more amazing to me, as I traveled around the city, I didn't find anyone that was greedy in the entire... There was no one living there. None of the indigent people... Natives or whatever, indigent people of Mathura, the Brijbasis or the Indians, let's say, there was no envy anywhere to be seen in those thousands of people, and no greed. It was unbelievable. There was no question of any thievery or any greed or envy. The people were complete. Every single person, from the lowest caste to the highest, they're all peaceful and all joyful. And this was his observation after being in different countries and sailing around the world and visiting different civilizations and people and groups of nations. Of course, things are a lot different now. So this is Mathura. Now Krishna was settling there, but he was very worried that they would attack. So now he's meeting those same Brijbasis, those secret friends of his. Because there's some rumor, Krishna was a king, son of Vasudeva Devaki, but he went, he had some farmhouse in Vrindavan or something like that, in Nandagram, and he used to go there and stay with his uncle, Vasudev, because Nanda Maharaj is like a cousin, brother, some relationship, family relationship, I used to listen to my mind, but Nanda Maharaj and Vasudev were actually relative, they're related, some cousins or whatever. He would go there and stay with his uncle or some chacha, and you know, when you go to the farm, you may be from Delhi or Big Delhi man, but you go to the farm, you play with cows, and you jump in the lake, this, that, chase the frogs. But you're a city man. You know, you're an ikdam city man. But I don't know, whatever, he had some girlfriend there, some village girl he fell in love with, or something. I don't know. They went on a swing together or something. So there's really not much very clear known about all that. A lot of rumors, a lot of folk stories and folk songs about it, but so none of the kings put much credence or interest in all that. But now, at Kurukshetra, if he makes an obvious, you know, meeting with these Brijavasis, then all these enemy kings were there. That's why it's shown that this is, you know, long ago, before Kurukshetra battle, and because they're all there. Jarasandha is there, and Duryodhana, they're all also there for this solar eclipse. Not mentioned here, but they're all there. And they say, oh, Acharya, he's so tight with the Nanda Maharaj. He's really tight. Okay, when he goes back to Dwarka, guess where we're going next? So, because, as I said, the Kurukshetra battle where he killed Duryodhana was long after he's living in Dwarka. He was 100. Now he's only 50. And there's his enemies, obviously. They've been his enemies for 100 years, since his birth. Shishupala is Krishna's enemy since birth. Since Shishupala was like 1 month old, he's going, kri, 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 kri. He was trying to say, Krishna, I'll kill him. Then, as soon as the first thing he said, Krishna, I want to kill him. He was a baby. He was chanting Krishna's name, Shishupala. Such a demon. So he's a lifelong enemy till he lost his head and Rajasuya sacrificed, and that was the end of his nonsense talk. No more prajalpa from him. So hopefully Krishna doesn't have to resort to his chakra to curb our tendency to talk prajalpa. If someone has prajalpa-itis, he's infected with a severe disease of prajalpa. They may get his head chopped off by Krishna's Sudarshan chakra. So he told them to, he very cleverly put them somewhere else. He did all this through Uddhava. And then he told, then Uddhava arranged, whenever you want to do something where you want to do it, but you don't want anyone to know that you're doing it, you send your agent. So the Krishna is sending Uddhava to do his work. So he had Nanda Maharaj and others camping in a very isolated place where he could go unseen and meet them privately. So his whole love affair with Nanda Maharaj and all of Vrindavan, his whole affair is not only the gopis, it's all rahasya, it's all secret. It's all very hidden. Krishna finally came to meet Nanda Maharaj from a distant place. As soon as he saw Nanda Maharaj, he offered dandavats. And when Nanda Maharaj saw Krishna, he began to tremble. His eyes were filling with tears, his hair was standing on end. He ran to Krishna, and they both embraced each other and cried in choked voices. Their minds were unsteady and disturbed with love. Father, Nandala. Oh, it says that Nanda Maharaj embraced both of them at once. Nanda Maharaj embraced both the boys. Come on, my boys. Thou and Nandala. Thou and Lala. He embraced them both. And then it said, although Krishna and Balaram wanted to embrace Nanda Maharaj in return, because there were so many people there present, they simply fell on the ground at his feet and offered respect at his feet in a very humble way. Then when, after collecting himself, Nanda Maharaj, he comfortably sat Krishna and Balaram. And he made them comfortable and relaxed. But he didn't actually sit them down. Instead, he made them very comfortable. And like he exchanged pleasantries with them and he asked how they were. But Krishna and Balaram were standing in front of Nanda Maharaj with folded hands. Because Vasudeva was also there. So he didn't want to show in front of Vasudeva, who thinks, Vasudeva and Devaki think that they're the mother and father, Krishna and Balaram. Vasudeva and Rohini and Devaki and Vasudeva. So Krishna is a very expert diplomat in diplomacy. So he's standing there. He doesn't want to show favoritism to Yashoda. Although that's why I said Jiva Goswami, they wanted to embrace him. Come on, let's go. Hey, but Vasudeva's there. So they restrained. They restrained their emotions and they didn't offer. And then Vasudeva brought Nanda to his own residence. And well, as if he were Devata, and Krishna and Balaram and others followed. And when Vasudeva got there in his house, then he worshipped Nanda Maharaj. Meanwhile, Yashoda was still sitting inside a cloth-covered cart, surrounded by many women. She was sitting, Yashoda was apparently, she had arrived there, but she was sitting inside some palanquin or some covered wagon or something, bail gadi or something. Then Krishna and Balaram came there, and when Mother Yashoda, she looked like a creeper, like some lata or creeper whose leaves had dried out and withered due to the intense scorching sun of the summer season. Sometimes you maybe have seen some creepers there and the leaves get so dry it looks like it's dead, although life is, the jivan is still there. If you scratch, the leaves are all shriveled up and dried up and about to fall off like they're dead. But the stem is still green. If you scratch the brown surface, you see it's still green. You know, jiva hogya. There's some life force there. And because it's connected to the ground, the creeper's connected to the ground's rooted. The stem is rooted and driving water and nourishment, but the leaves are totally wrinkled up. So she's a Gopilata Yashoda, but she's, her limbs, her face, she's alive, the jiva's there, the chitta's there, but she's practically dried up and dead and due to the intense scorching heat of the sun of separation. Although she was so afflicted by separation, when she saw her two sons, she immediately stood up. At that instant, Krishna and Balaram ran and fell at Mother Yashoda's feet. They didn't run before her and stand with folded hands. They're meeting her privately. There was no one else around. As they were lying at the feet of Mother Yashoda, Krishna and Balaram continually cried and cried. And everyone seeing this, everyone else started crying also. Mother Yashoda then smelled the fragrant heads of Krishna and Balaram, and she started crying so intensely she was wetting their heads with her tears. And she suddenly noticed that Krishna and Balaram, their faces were also drenched in tears. So then Yashoda took the corner of her chunari and started wiping the tears from the faces of Krishna and Balaram. Meanwhile, the queens of Dwarka, who were also there, they started worshipping Mother Yashoda. They sat Mother Yashoda on a throne, and on her right hand side sat Balaram, and her left hand side sat Krishna. Then Rukmini and Satyabhama and the other queens, they started worshipping them. Then after he greeted Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, then Krishna especially, he went up to every single Brijvasi, the Chandrabhanu and Vrishabhanu and Upananda and Nanda Sunanda and all the Brijvasis without fail. Everyone that came from Braj, Krishna went to them, he approached them and he worshipped them. So this is the situation that Krishna doesn't. The point here is being made by Jiva Goswami. This is in verse 25, meeting in Kurukshetra, that Krishna doesn't forget anyone's love and doesn't overlook anyone's offering of devotion or dedication to him, and he never forgets. Krishna never forgets an offering of love. That's why Prabhupada said that once. He said that Krishna is grateful. It's akrita. Akrita means, I think it's akrita, that Krishna is very grateful even for the littlest service rendered. And he'll never forget that. And a devotee may render service sincerely with enthusiasm and all his heart, and then due to some circumstance, he may go away from Krishna consciousness, or let's say the active life of service, and be somewhat overwhelmed by his parabdha and be engaged in non-devotional activities and forgetting Krishna. But then at the time of death or nearing death, he starts again getting serious in the last remaining weeks or days and fixing his mind on Krishna. And then suddenly he leaves his body, but Krishna didn't forget the service that he rendered. Krishna appears in his mind and appears on his tongue. And that way he remembers Krishna at the crucial time of death and gets liberated. So here Krishna hasn't been in Braj for about 50 years, and he's meeting the Vrijabhasis at Kurukshetra, and he remembers them all, and he's going up to each and every one. There was no one from Braj whom Krishna did not approach and worship. He doesn't, oh, okay, I'll go to the big players. I'll go to my mother Yashoda and Nanda. And I'll go to the gopis, obviously. But to Snigdha and Madhukanta and the house servants and the chokidars and the gardeners and the mallis and the bullock cart drivers and the milkmen and the soldiers and all the other people of Braj. So many people came from Braj. It's a whole community, a whole entourage. They lived there for 3 months. That means they brought their servants, they brought their everything. So Krishna's, this verse in pastime is showing how intimate Krishna is, how personal Krishna is, how loving he is, how grateful he is, and how intimately kind he is to everyone who's part of his entourage. Then Rohini and Devaki started embracing Yashoda and speaking to her, oh, Vrajarani, you and your husband Nanda are a treasure house of prem. You have so much prem within you that you can never give it up. Though even we enjoy the wealth of Indra as the queens of Dwarka, that wealth can never compare to the wealth of your prem. So they're recognizing the queens of Dwarka, although they're so intimate in Madhurya Ras. There in Swakiya Bhav, Madhurya Ras with that same Krishna, most intimate, confidential exchanges of physical love and union. But they're admiring and appreciating the supreme exaltation and significance of Mother Yashoda's love. They said, okay, we're considered to be wealthy. We're considered to be as wealthy as the goddesses of fortune. We're like a second goddess of fortune on the earth. Lakshmi Devi is on the earth, Rukmini Satyabhama, so wealthy, so influential. What is that wealth? You're simple, simple people. You don't have golden crowns and golden armlets and jewelry and all golden waist belts. Or maybe they do, but can't compare to the opulence and grandeur and majesty of the queens of Dwarka. You're villagers, you're vaishyas, you're cowherd people. But we can easily see and appreciate you have some extraordinary maha, maha wealth. And that's your love is so deep and so intense for our Krishna that we can see that clearly here at Kurukshetra because we never saw you together. We heard about Mother Yashoda and Nanda. We never saw you. Rukmini never met herself. So now we heard something about you from different storytellers and whatnot. And from Rohini. Rohini, of course, lived with you, and she would tell us many things about you and about Krishna Balaram when they lived here. But we only know them as kings. We know Krishna Balaram as kings, as our husbands. We don't know them as gopas, as footloose and fancy-free gopas. We don't know them as that. But you know, and we heard something about you, but seeing is believing. Seeing and feeling is believing. So we're seeing how Krishna and Balaram are interacting with you, and we're seeing how you're interacting with them. And we can feel the intense love that you have. It's in your eyes, it's in your face, it's in your expressions. And we can see, we know this Krishna and Balaram. We sleep with them. They're our beloveds. And we've seen their faces for 50 years. We're married to them. But we've never seen their faces looking like this. We never seen the kind of glimmer we see in their eyes now. We never saw the kind of radiance in their faces that we see now when they're looking at you, Ananda Maharaj. That kind of glimmer, that kind of color, that kind of intensity of emotions is coming from an extremely attached heart. That we can—it's very clear and evident to us that Krishna and Balaram, our husbands, are much more attached and much more in love with you, Mother Yashoda, Ananda, than we ourselves, his queens. So therefore, we worship you, we adore you, we pray for your mercy. So at the end of the day, after the day passed that day, Krishna and all the Vrijabhasis, they had hundreds of exchanges of love, and then Nanda Maharaj retired to his dwellings. And then everybody went to sleep. It's Ratri, time to go to sleep. Rest at 10, up at 4, chant Hare Krishna for birth no more. Right? Something like that. So they went to take rest at 10. And after everyone was soundly sleeping and deeply snoring in forgetfulness of the world, then Krishna went somewhere. Where did he go? Went to the place where the gopis were staying. So the class is taking 1 hour to get to the main actress. We've heard about the main actor and the supporting actors and actresses and subplots and sub scenes within the drama, but now it's the main players. Because why did Krishna go to Kurukshetra? To meet the gopis. Why did the gopis go to Kurukshetra? To meet Krishna. So now we can no longer delay the program. We'd like to go on with the show. Now they're going to meet. So this is what Krishna is going to experience. Is how do the gopis look? How do they appear, those lovelorn gopis that were so much tormented in separation from Krishna? They're barely alive. Their bodies are just being dragged about by their maidservants, and somehow being maintained by the will of providence. So when Krishna looked at the gopis, he could notice that they were very thin. And their bodies were unkempt. They were wearing old, worn-out clothing. Wearing old, worn-out clothing, like people come here and donate old clothes, but they're not even old. They're practically brand new. And how old was that clothing? 40 years or 50 years old? Basically, it was worn out. It was old and worn-out clothing. They were wearing old and worn-out clothing, but at the same time, they're wearing new and ever-fresh feelings of love. As a clothing, although externally it represents a passage of time and a deterioration with the effect of time, so it's classified as old and worn out. But those were the same saris and chunaris that they were wearing when Krishna left Vrindavan 50 years before. On a Kura's chariot with Dao Dayal, Balaram. And those clothes were saturated with the fragrance, the last remaining fragrance of Krishna's body. They were captured because wet cloth very easily takes up fragrance. If you have some wet cloth and you rub oil on that wet cloth, some fragrant oil, when it dries, it'll very much capture the fragrance. So the cloth, the clothing, the chunari, and the dress and everything of the gopis, Kanchuli, was soaking wet with their tears as Krishna rode away in the chariot. And the wind was blowing. The wind blew over Krishna's body and carried the fragrance of his divine form, which is so much attractive with its mixture of kasturi and kapoor and chandan and aloe and blue lotus, and all that sweet, beautiful, attractive, love-filled fragrances saturated the wet clothes of the gopis. So when they dried up after Krishna left and they started burning in the fire of separation, their clothes finally dried out, then that fragrance was all they had. Krishna's fragrance, they would embrace that fragrance and remember that fragrance and serve that fragrance of Krishna's body lingering on their clothes for 50 years. And that fragrance was continually igniting ever new and fresh feelings of love. Anurag. Anurag, intense feelings of anurag and separation. So therefore, although externally, under the time factor, appeared to be worn out clothing, it was actually, they were outside that worn out clothing, or that worn out clothing was the source and the impetus to create ever fresh and ever new feelings of attachment and love for Krishna in his remembrance as they repeatedly smelled that beautiful fragrance of Krishna's transcendentally sweet body. So this anurag means new, ever new, anurag means ever fresh, ever new feelings of attachment and love. And what else did Krishna see besides his worn-out clothing? As their bodies were thin, they were unkempt. and their hair was falling over their faces, which means a lady generally wears a beni in the culture of Vedic society. Her hair is tied in three parts. And this is never to be undone except in a private association of the husband in the private chambers. But after the husband dies, I believe so, there's different yamas and niyams. I think after the husband dies, if the woman is a widow, she no longer braids her hair or something. I think it's kept loose. There's some different laws like this. I can't remember just now. But now they feel that since Krishna left, they were practically dead. Their life was Krishna. He's their prananath. I Nanda Tanushika, what's that? Where's Ashlishiva Parvatam Panashtamam Adarshanam Mamahatam Karotuva Yata Tata Babadadati Lampato Mat Prananatasu Seva Napara. Napara, I don't have any others, there's no one else. That Krishna, you are our prananath, you are our nath. The husband is the nath of the wife, but you are, okay, body nath, deha nath, sharir nath. Husband is the Lord, a purveyor, a controller, owner of my body, or at least he thinks so. But he doesn't own, he doesn't control my pran, he doesn't control my dreams, he doesn't control my desires, he doesn't control my emotions. Those are my private domain. And that's where my prana remains in the private domain of my love and my desire. And that prananath is you, Shyam, Krishna. So in your absence, we're dead. We're like widows. And so what's the point of tying our hair? So the hair was loose and just hanging there. Because tying the hair means brushing the hair, brushing the hair, combing the hair. The hair was, they haven't washed their hair for 60 years. They're just hanging there. The hair was falling over their faces. When Krishna saw this, he started to faint. Imagine you saw your girlfriend when you were 12 years old, and 12 plus 6, 18, because 1.5 times maturity. So you're 11, you're 17, 18, your girlfriend's 16. So beautiful, so shiny, so clean, so beautiful, radiant, and healthy hair, and gleaming, beautiful cheeks, and beautiful body, and so nice, shiny clothes, everything. Now you see her 60 years later. She lost 40 kilos. Hair all straggly, unwashed, all dried out, skin all washed out, thin, bony. And Krishna said, "Ah, my Radha, my Gopis." And he started tottering. Oh, and what am I seeing? And he took support of Uddhava because he almost fell over, like a banana tree cut down by the wind. He was, cut. The hurricane comes and cuts the banana tree. It spins off like that because it's just a milk watery thing. There's no real roots. The trunk of the banana, just wind blows the leaves and it spins around like that, busts right off at this bottom, just falls over. There's nothing there. Just spins off. Doesn't snap like a tree will fall down, snap and be connected to the roots or something. But a banana tree just completely gets uprooted because the leaves, the wind blows and the leaves spin around. I've seen in Mayapur. I was staying in one house in Mayapur. One afternoon storm came, like tufan, and the banana trees are going and they. And he just flips them off, and there's just a, looks like a razor cut the bottom across, like Sudarshan. He's about to faint, Krishna is about to faint like that, and Uddhava caught him and supported him. And then Krishna was weeping and weeping for a long time, and he had his head down in his hands, he's crying, crying. And then he was thinking, he didn't understand when he had come, he didn't know when he came there or why he came. He didn't even know what he was doing or what had happened. He was totally vismay, totally bewildered, seeing that sight. And finally, when he collected himself and he glanced at one of the gopis, as soon as Krishna's eyes, because Krishna was one, he's one, and he's meeting many. There's Radha and the Asasakis, and he's meeting them all. So as his eyes, just like I'm giving classes, sometimes I look at one devotee, another devotee, another devotee, another devotee. So our eyes meet. Keeps you from falling asleep. I'm feeling tired. Omar is going to look at me. if I just look at the book the whole time, oh, this is good. You keep looking at the book. Or some devotees close their eyes. So Krishna met the gopis at Kurukshetra. It was a very beautiful scene. And all good. He's closing his eyes. So that means I can close my eyes. Close your eyes. Okay. But don't close your heart. So as Krishna gazed from one gopi's face to another, lovely, beautiful face of one gopi to another, and their eyes locked together, then what happens as soon as that gopi would look at Krishna, Krishna would look at that gopi, two things would become stunned, stumba. Two parts of her transcendental body would immediately accelerate to the seventh dimension of saptik vikar, ashta saptik vikar, eight transformation. The seventh one is stumba. As soon as Krishna glanced at the gopi, her eyes would become stunned. She couldn't move because of the bliss of her eyes, ecstatic joy of her eyes, and then her heart would become stunned. She's like, just like stuck at looking at each other. Who can describe the transformations of love that the gopis, who were so much filled with Trishna, thirst, because of the fire of long separation? So if you're burning with fever, then what do you become? You become thirsty, hot, obviously. And then I want water. And there's some diseases where you become very thirsty. I forget, typhoid or something. No, maybe dog bite or something. Rabies, you become very thirsty. Some disease, you're really thirsty. I think it's cholera. You know cholera? There's one disease, cholera, where the symptom is you drink 20 kilos of water and you want to drink 20 kilos more. So they were very thirsty due to a fire. What fire? The fire of viraha. It's called pravas viraha. There's four kinds of love and separation: man, prema, chitya, purvarag. This is pravas. Pravas, that Krishna was living at such a distant place, so far away in Dwarka, in the far western part of India, Dwarka, Gujarat, on the coast. And they were so much burning and separation. When Radha started to climb up on a cart at Kurukshetra, she fainted. And other gopis who were standing nearby, when they simply smelled the fragrance of Krishna's body, they also fainted. And finally, when Krishna and Radha met, then they also became stunned in ecstasy upon meeting each other. Their hair stood on end, they started perspiring profusely, their voices choked and they trembled. They lost color, tears, and fainting occurred. These symptoms spread to other gopis also. So it almost looks like a set of dominoes. Dominoes, these little black wooden things with numbers on them, you line them up and push them, they go, hit one and they all go down like this. So first, you can see that one by one, first they saw each other, and then they cried, and they choked up, and they trembled, and they all eight symptoms, ashta sattvic bhavs, overwhelmed them in the madhura rati of their intense parakiya bhav, intense love. After union after long separation, union after very long separation, and their bhava and ecstatic attachment became so much accelerated that their hearts couldn't contain the overwhelming ecstasy. It's called sudipta, intense pitch of extremely blazing, blindingly scorching and blazing expression of the ecstatic symptoms of divine love. Sudipta, septic, ashta septic vikars. All eight, crying. There's eight symptoms. Ashu, romancha, kampa, vepatu, vaivarnya, stamba, then pralaya. There's all eight. They all appeared manifested at one time, and simultaneously at one time, and to an extreme unlimited pitch. Crying unlimitedly, trembling unlimitedly, changing color like anything, and choked up voice, and then getting stunned, and then finally fainting. They can't contain it anymore, and finally, psh, like the wire is plugged in, and so much voltage is coming through it. First the wire gets hot, and it gets really hot. Then the rubber casing on the electric wire starts to melt. Then the plug starts to melt. Then there's a short, and psh, and all the electricity is busted, and the whole house goes black and burns out or something. So that's pralaya. The whole house goes out, and lights go out, and then you faint. So Krishna, Radharani looking at each other, and Krishna fainted, Radha fainted. And the other gopis seeing this, they went boop, 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 boop. They all fainted, one after the other. Because whatever Radha experiences, all the gopis experience. And the mandris experience even more. So everyone's just lying around like a bunch of knocked over dominoes. Unbelievable scene. Buddha was standing there, what's going on? My friend, oh Krishna, oh Dwarkadish, what happened? Radharani, my gopi friends, he came to Vrindavan, he stayed 10 months. Uddhava stayed 10 months in Vrindavan when he came to deliver the letters. What has happened to my friends? I know how much Krishna loves these gopis. No one else does. I know, I saw their love. I saw Brahma Gita. I know how much the gopis love Krishna. What's happening? They're lying, they're all fainted in front of me at my feet. Krishna's gone out. The gopis of Radha, they're all gone out. Ha! Huh? Oh, and he was in so much distress, he didn't know what to do. And somehow he managed to revive them. Krishna, Krishna, wake up, come on. Radha, wake up, come on. With great tender love and love and affection, he made them all sit together in front of him. Because he's about 40 years older than all of them. He's like a father. But he's like a father who knows, like a father come elder brother. Because he's more like a brother and friend. He's a friend, a sukha. He's a sukha of Krishna, but his sakirasa is mixed with vatsalya and dasya, with the mood of a father and also a servitude. Uddhav. He's so dear to Krishna. One verse Krishna says, Uddhav is more than myself. So now, the camera focuses on the Braja gopis, how they feel, how do they look. The gopis lost, and now Krishna consoles the Braja gopis. Their beauty was lost because so many tears are on their faces. And they were so overwhelmed, they couldn't even look at Krishna in the face. Because if they looked at Krishna in the eyes, again they would faint, and again they would lose that consciousness. So what's the value? We went to Kurukshetra to meet Krishna, and associate with Krishna, and speak with him, and embrace him, and try to renew our lost relationship, and recover our feelings. And now, ever since we see him, we faint. So they understood that, the gopis understood clearly that if we look at Shyamasundara, we look at Dwarkadish, our Krishna, our Damodar, our Gopinath, if we look at him straight in the eyes, then again we'll faint. So now they started looking at his feet. The gopis are very humbly and in a controlled way staring at Krishna's feet. Then Krishna approached them and he wiped away their tears. In a very clever and skillful way, in all the skillful ways of love, he made the gopis happy again. And then in that very solitary place, of course Uddhava probably went somewhere by now, but in that very solitary, he decided it's a good time to take a moon walk. So he said, it's late now, Krishna, I see the moon is high in the sky, I think I'll go for a walk, and moon rays are very soothing, I'll see you a little bit later. He said, yeah, that's nice, Uddhava. You go for a walk. Take a walk. So Uddhava engaged himself elsewhere, and then Krishna immediately embraced and kissed all the lotus-eyed gopis. And he wiped away their tears and began praising and comforting them. And he spoke in a few verses, which we'll recite. All my beloved gopis, my prayasis, this separation, this first separation that we've just undergone of me being in Dwarka for so many years and you remaining in Braj, it has been very difficult for both of us. But surprisingly, even though that separation pain was so intense and so unbearable, I managed to live. But what is surprising to me, my prayasis, is that somehow you maintained your life in prolonged separation because you want to be here, because if I returned you wanted to be here just to attain me. So I praise you for that. But why did you feel so much suffering? Because you were actually seeing me within yourselves. Didn't you see me? And then to remind them, Krishna tells the gopis that actually I'm coming to see you every day regularly. If you see me, then you'll find that the taste for rasa pastimes is still there in your heart. That rasa vilas, that ras, is still there because we're meeting and having rasa dance. So when Krishna said that, that touched the sensitive spot in the gopis' hearts. He said, actually, I'm meeting you regularly. And look in your hearts. Don't you see in your hearts that same ever-fresh, that ever-fresh taste of ras, that ras lila, as if we just danced last night, and the reverberations of that those intense sentiments and emotional exchanges that we had that night on the banks of the Yamuna, at Yamuna Pulina, under the Sharad Purnima, on the camphor sandy soft banks of the Yamuna. Those same beautiful sentiments and sensations are still reverberating throughout your heart and mind. It was only a few hours. Don't you feel it? Isn't the ras still there? Can't you see? Because I am regularly coming to you and dancing with you. Are you not seeing me in your heart? Are you not feeling this ras? The ras of my presence, the ras of my caress, the ras of my dance, steps and kisses. Are you not experiencing? When the gopis heard that, although they were locked in a shy gaze at Krishna's feet, simultaneously all the hundreds of gopis that were looking down at Krishna's feet, they simultaneously raised their eyes from Krishna's feet. And then they looked at Krishna. So when Krishna's looking, he's seeing hundreds of gopis looking at him. Krishna then slightly smiled to relieve their suffering. And by his smile, his very slight smile, he tried to convey to the gopis that whatever suffering you had, oh, is insignificant. And then he spoke to the gopis. And then there's a long series of verses which Jiva Goswami simply repeats the Srimad Bhagavatam. What Krishna said to the gopis in chapter 82 of the 10th canto, verse 41 through 46. And Krishna, in his talking to the gopis, Jiva Goswami, after citing it and quoting it here, api smaratana sakya swanam arta chikirshaya katam chiryatan chatru paksha shapna chetasa apyavad yayav Yatasman swid akrita gyavi shankaya nunam bhutani bhagavan yunakti vin viunakti cha vayor yata gananikam trinam tulam rajamshi cha samyoj jakshi pate buyas tata bhutani bhuttakrit mayi bhaktir hi bhutanam amritavaya kalpate dishtya yad asin mad sneho bhavatinam marakpana aham hi sarabhutanam adiranto taram bahi bhaktikanam yatakham var burvayur jyotir angana evam yetani bhutani bhuteshvatmana vatmatmana tata ubhayam mahi yata pare pashyattabhatam akshare. Jiva Goswami summarizes a preaching of kind of Gyan Yoga. For example, he says, oh gopis, I am the beginning and end of all created beings. I exist within and without them. I pervade the creation. You should see me and yourself manifest within me. Everything was is within me, the absolute truth. This is the Gyan, Vibhuti Yoga, Gyan Yoga. And Jiva Goswami says that first, in his dialogue or his description of the gopis, Krishna is trying to show the gopis that he says, listen. First he says, you know, because you should understand, Krishna first showed that because he was not God, I'm not God, so I'm dependent on external circumstances. I'm controlled by those circumstances like everybody else. I mean, I tried my best, but what could I do? It rained and I couldn't come or whatever. And then he says, then Krishna changes his tune and he says, actually, I am God. So first he tells the gopis, hey, listen, it's not my fault that I've been away so long. I mean, I'm not the controller, and I'm not God. It happens like that. If I had my way, I would have been with you every night, but providence is such that I was stuck over there in Dwarka, and don't be so hard on me, and like this. Then he said, listen. I am God. And, you know, I can give Brahman realization to my devotees. And better yet, I can actually bring my devotees personally close to myself. The gopis are saying, yeah, that's why we came here. We want the latter one. Then we ask a question. Why did Krishna speak to the gopis in double talk? First he's saying, I'm not God. I'm controlled by God. Then he says, I am God. I control everything. I especially control my devotees and bring them to me. So why did he say that? And so then Jiva Goswami gives the answer. You may have an answer, but Jiva Goswami says, Krishna said this. First he said, I'm God. I'm not God. No, I am God. Krishna spoke like this because his mind was disturbed. So he didn't really understand the irrationality of what he was saying. But the gopis' minds were also disturbed, but maybe not that disturbed. So they were thinking, wait a minute, you're not God, you are God. What double talk are you saying? So then the gopis, as I mentioned, even though they may be disturbed, but they're smart. So they pinpointed the duality of Krishna's words. And the gopis, they could not think that because of the pain of separation, they could not think because of that. But some of them, they were also disturbed. Krishna was disturbed and he talked in crazy ways. But most of the gopis, they couldn't even think what he was saying. They're so, what are you saying? I don't know what you're saying. We're so distraught by separation, so much anguish we're feeling. But some of the gopis were a little more balanced. So they picked it up and then they said, hey, what are you saying? The statements that you're making are not at all related to each other. First you say you're helpless, then you say you're God, and you bestow bhakti, and then you praise Brahman. So this is irrational. So then Krishna thinks, oh. Then Krishna said, well, the thing is, see, our enemies put all my friends and relatives into difficulty. So how can I ignore my relatives? He's trying to say, how can I come to you? I have to take care of my mother. Like some Indian boys are so attached to their mother. Please, I want to meet you. No, my mother. What is this, your mother? Your mother is me or your mother? No, it's my mother. So he's saying, no, you see, the thing is, and then if you find fault, if you blame me because I've delayed so long in returning, and you say that you think it appears that I'm ungrateful because I don't have complete dedication to you that you have for me, then I say that that's true. But our meeting together, which we had in Vrindavan, or our separation that's now happened, it's all caused by the Lord. If I were actually independent, there would never be any separation. So now, first he said he's not God, then he's God. Then he's saying, well, gee, actually we're separated because my enemies were attacking my relatives. And now he's saying, well, if I was in control, we would never separate. I would always be with you. And remember, Garga Muni said, so now Krishna, seeing the gopis are not so much appreciating or swallowing what he's saying, Krishna resorts to preaching Atma-gyan, Atma-gyan yoga. Now this is pretty interesting, so I want everyone to pay attention to this. Krishna starts preaching to the gopis, and usually we preach to the conditioned. So now imagine preaching Atma-gyan. You're not the body, and so Krishna starts preaching this to the gopis. And he said, listen, don't you know that my name-giving ceremony, Gargacharya, you said that that I have qualities like Narayan. And so all of you should think of me as Narayan. your intense prema will quickly produce such prema in me. That's why I have said that bhakti to me produces nectar. So in other words, if we have bhakti, devotion for the Lord, then we actually serve Him as our service becomes more and more pure and finally pure and imbued with complete love and dedication, then that bhakti transforms into bhakti rasamrita. Bhakti rasamrita. It's nectar of bhakti ras, the sweetest ecstatic experience of joy and bliss, as one relishes his rati, one relishes his nitya rati, his eternal rati, his tahirati, his eternal loving mood towards the Lord as he serves him and exchanges with him in various ecstasies of bhav and ras. So now here's his preaching. Now listen, gopis. I have an eternal relationship with you. You should see, just as a hankar is the cause, maintenance, and destruction of all elements, and the elements are the cause, maintenance, and destruction of these material bodies. The jivas exist in the body, and the jiva is pervaded by the paramatma. Listen, O Brajagopis, just see that everything is under my shelter, and it is sheltered in me, who am situated somewhere else. But I'm also always within you. And that is proved by my spurti. So Krishna is saying that I'm within you and I'm without you. I'm inside of you. But yet I'm in Dwarka. So I'm with you all the time. I'm with you in Vrindavan. And I'm with you and I'm also in Dwarka simultaneously. And the proof that I'm with you in Vrindavan is that I appear in your heart and your mind every night in spurti, in vision. And we embrace, we dance, we kiss, we dance in the rasa. That's the proof. Then I'm everywhere. Maya tatamidam sarvam yat jagadav yaktamurtinam. So in this way, Krishna preached this atma gyan to the yogi, to the gopis. So then how did the Brajagopis respond? What were they thinking? First they thought, before they responded, they thought. What were they thinking after they heard Krishna's, all this highfalutin preaching? The gopis remained very disturbed and they started to remember the separation, how they were so separated. Now at Kurukshetra they had finally attained Krishna, with whom they already have an eternal relationship with Krishna himself. It's already established. But yet, and he himself was saying that, he already said that in his delivery. He said, I have an eternal relationship with you. So the gopis are They're thinking, okay, we've attained Krishna, we do have an eternal relationship with Him. But, although we have an eternal loving relationship with Krishna, there's some obstacle, there's some impediment or hurdle that we have to overcome. There's an impediment or an obstacle to our eternal relationship. And that's what was depressing the gopis. But Krishna's powerful words, He said that bhakti to me produces nectar. So then when they heard that, they were very satisfied. He was preaching to them. If someone does bhakti to me, then they experience amrit. It produces nectar, bhakti rasamrit. So when they heard that, yes, bhakti produces nectar. And what they were somewhat relieved and satisfied, but yet they were still covered in tears. Because they have immense bhakti for Krishna. And the only nectar they want to produce from that bhakti is taste the nectar of Krishna's lips. Krishna dara amritam. The nectar of Krishna's lips. So then they replied to Krishna in verse 44 of chapter 82. So Krishna spoke this verse. Mayi bhaktir ibhutanam amrita tvaya kapate jishta yat asin matsneo bhavatinam madarpana. Listen, gopis, if you serve me, if you render devotional service, that qualifies any human being for eternal life. In other words, if you do bhakti, you'll relish amrit. Amrit means no death. You relish the nectar of eternal life. By good fortune, you have this attitude of love towards me, by which you have attained me. So then Vishnadi says that the gopis replied to him. They said, O crest jewel of clever speakers, That Supreme Lord that you are blaming for us not meeting together and being separated from us, who you say he's the cause of our separation, that Supreme Lord is actually no one other than you yourself. Everyone in the world knows this fact, and why should we be ignorant of this? And Krishna replies, but, my dear girlfriends, if this is true, I must be God, as you say, but still I am conquered by your loving affection. So then, and think of this, that's the exchange that took place between the lines. And thinking like this, then Krishna speaks this verse. If you have devotion to me, gopis, then you'll achieve liberation. Amrita. By that you have attained affection. But, okay, if you just simply serve me, you'll get mukti. But you have love and affection for me. And that is my good fortune, since it causes you to attain me. But there's actually a hidden meaning in the Krishna's words here that he spoke in this verse 44 in 18th chapter. He's saying that, O gopis, your affection to me drags me to you by force. This is called Prem Sankarshan. The complete Sankarshan. The complete, all-encompassing and complete power of intimate love to draw the beloved next to the lover. Pull, like a strong magnet. A strong magnet pulls the iron filings right to its side, tightly holds those filings. Even if they're a foot away, if you bring it, you sprinkle some iron filings on the floor and you bring a magnet there and they just fly over there and get stuck. As I often told before in class, I went in America, I had these junkyards where old junk up cars are all smashed up. And they have a crane there, a big crane. And the crane has a huge magnet, electric magnet. It's hooked up to electricity. And there's a motor running the crane, and then there's or maybe electric crane. And then that magnet, they drop the crane, has a big hoist or pole like this, and then it drops the magnet. And then there's a pile of about 10 cars, and they smash them. They smash all the cars, they take out all the good parts, and they smash all the steel together, and then melt it, scrap steel. So they take about 10 cars, and another machine, they have another machine, just goes hydraulics and squishes the cars like, you know, cardboard, automobiles. And then they're stacked up like this, and then this magnet goes like that, and they drop the thing and it goes, it hits the car, because, you know, it's iron, magnetic. And he pulls the power of the magnet, and it pulls up 10 cars, and he goes like this, you know, drives on the motor and the wheels like caterpillar type thing. Mm-hmm. Drives over somewhere and drops it off in some truck, and they ship it off to melt or this or that. So that's a lot of power in a magnet. It can pick up 10 cars. Just magnetic force. It's just a piece of metal stuck on a piece of metal, right? But that one piece of metal is electrified and it creates a magnetic field because it's a magnet, you know, lodestone or whatever it is. And chumbak. Chumbak means kiss or tight or attract. So the gopi's love is so great that Krishna's saying, you know, you pulled me, you're like a strong magnetic force. It brings me close to you and it assures that you will soon, it assures that very soon I will come to remain in your company permanently. Now it's, so finally the gopis reply to the Lord, and they were thinking that somehow we've attained Kurukshetra, Krishna's here, but there's an obstacle to our eternal relationship, and so we feel very depressed. But we feel a little inspired because Krishna has just said that bhakti to him produces nectar. If someone is devoted to him, then they will experience amritam, nectar, bhakti rasa amritam. And certainly I would like to think that we gopis are devoted to Krishna. We have some bhakti, prema bhakti, and love for him. So maybe we'll taste nectar and we won't die, and that nectar will fill us with, will enervate us, enervate our beings and thrill our consciousness with a sustenance and joyous, happy feeling of health and life, and revive us who are practically dead in Krishna's separation. So now they finally, after thinking and feeling like this, they reply to Krishna's long dissertation of Atma Tattva Gyan. Imagine preaching Tattva Gyan to the gopis. O Lord with the lotus navel, we pray to you. We really want that your lotus feet will stay in our minds at all times, because that's what he just finished saying. Devotion to me is created by thinking about me, remembering my feet in your mind, reading the shastras, worshipping me. There's no need to be near me. I am everywhere. I'm within everything, outside everything. And I say, yes, that's wonderful. We really appreciate that. And we're praying to you that that'll happen to us. And it's a fact, as you said, that yogis that do this, they can destroy all the ignorance. They destroy the ignorance by remembering your feet. But we have a problem with that. The problem is that the yogis, they do that and they become sanctified and purified. It's very helpful and successful meditative process for the yogis. But whenever we remember your feet, rather than destroying ignorance, because the yogis become illuminated, they become enlightened, they become free from tama and raja, their minds become sanguine and peaceful and pure and sattvic by remembering your shuddha sattva rupam and meditating your feet. That's really good. But when we remember your feet, you know what happens to us? We end up in ignorance. We don't get out of ignorance. We don't get enlightened. We don't get enlightened. We enter the darkness. We become endarkened. We don't become enlightened. We become endarkened. We become dark. And we become not in ignorance. We don't get out of ignorance. We go steeper and deeper in ignorance. Because ignorance means pain, suffering. They're saying it has an opposite effect on us. You're preaching to us, oh, this is Atma Tattva Gyan. I meditate on my feet and everything will be wonderful and you'll be situated in Sattva Gun and be peaceful in Brahman, fixed in Brahman and enlightened and free from all ignorance and have all illumination and knowledge, joy and peace. They said, really, Krishna, that's really good. And we really pray to you that your lotus feet will stay in our minds at all times. But one problem is that when we remember your feet, we end up in ignorance, we suffer, we're unhappy, we're burning in the pain of separation. So they continue. They say, listen, we can't meditate on your feet. And you're saying it doesn't matter, we don't have to be near you. We can be in Noida or in Delhi or in Duragaon and simply meditate on your feet. And everything's fine, and you'll be a good yogi, and you'll be happy, and you'll taste the nectar of bhakti. They say, that's great, sounds really good. But we can't actually meditate on your feet. All we know is that we want to see your feet in Vrindavan. you should see my form in your hearts by internal meditation. We don't want to do meditation, see your feet inside, internally in our hearts. We want to see your feet right there, walking in the land of Vrindavan, walking through Sevakunj, walking through Nidivan, walking along the banks of Yamuna, Yamuna Pulin, and Rasastali. So this is how the gopis finally continue to reply to Krishna's talks about Atma Tattva Gyan. He said, we cannot get any perfection by absorbing our minds in you. Neither can we come to you because of our in-laws. We will get happiness if we can see your lotus feet, but only if those feet come and remain forever in Braj. So then, this is, that verse is mentioned there. Afflicted by separation, after saying this, the gopis fainted, and they continued unconscious in a swoon for 1.5 hours. So a meeting privately with Krishna, and after he told them to become Atma Gyanis, Atma Tattva Gyanis, and be Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma and Asochati Nakankshati, then they replied, he said, listen, nothing doing, forget it. It's not going to work. Thanks a lot, appreciate your philosophical discourse. You're really very intelligent, very logical and reasonable. Presented a very sound, shastric-based, pramanic based discussion, but actually we're not yogis, and we can't meditate. We want your feet in Braj with our feet. We want to dance with your feet. We want to caress your feet. We want to hold your feet to our breasts. We want to paint your feet. We want your feet with our feet in Vrindavan. Nothing short of that. So after speaking this, they became so overwhelmed by that thought that when will he come back and when will he hold his feet to our breasts, and that they fainted. They continued lying on the ground for 3 hours. 1.5 hours. And Krishna became extremely overcome with anxiety. He said, "Oh, because of your great longing, your intelligence has lost its power of discernment." Then with choked voices, the gopis said, "What? What? What was that?" "Listen," Krishna said, "rendering devotional service to me qualifies any living entity for eternal life. If you do bhakti yoga, you can become eternal and live with me in the spiritual world, in the spirit, the eternal land of light, of love and bliss, knowledge and love. And somehow you're very fortunate, my dear gopis. You have a special attitude of love towards me. And because of your attitude of love and submission, you've attained me." And gopis say, "Yes, that is true. But since our hearts have been pierced by the dagger of separation, can we remember anything? Therefore, would you please simply give us what we have asked in our prayer? We want to see, and we beg you to please place your feet back in Braj." So after hearing their plea and seeing their intense anxiety and anguish, what did Krishna do to show his mercy to the Brajagopis and fulfill their request? Sukadeva Goswami alludes to the answer in chapter 83 of the Srimad Bhagavatam, verse number 1. We speak that verse, how Sukadeva alludes to the answer of this question, which I asked, that how did Krishna actually show mercy to the Brajagopis and fulfill the request? We can see Vishnu Chakravarti's rendition of the gopis' exchanges with Krishna, which we have just recited from Gopal Champu. We can see his Sarta Darshani insight to these beautiful loving intimacies between Krishna and the gopis. So when the gopis heard all of his wonderful preaching, his Adhyatma Shiksha, Sri Shuka Vacha, Adhyatma Shikshaya Gopya Evam Krishna Shikshita Tad Anusmarana Dvasta Jivakoshastan Adnyagan. Krishna was very Krishna Shiksha, Shiksha Guru. Krishna became the Shiksha Guru of the gopis now. Although earlier he was saying, when he was in Vrindavan, he said, "Radhikara Prema Guru Ami Shishya Nat. Radhikara Prema Guru Ami Shishya Nat. Radharani is my Prema Guru. Radhikara Prema Guru Ami Shishya Nat. And I am her Shishya. I am her dancing pupil. Shishya Nat means dancing. And I am her dancing Shishya. She says jump, I jump. She says move, I move. She says turn right, I turn right. Turn left, step forward, step back. I am dancing. She is teaching. She is my dance instructor. What is a dance? It's called Prem Dalliance. Love Dalliance. Love Dance. But now Krishna has become that Shiksha. Krishna's Shiksha. Adhyatma Shikshaya Gopya. So now, in the next verse, the gopis are saying, "Oh, Padaravindam, Nalina Nava, Nalina Nava, Padaravindam. Oh, you whose navel is just like a lotus flower, you were the only shelter." We settle that. So the gopis seemingly are speaking very reverential words in this verse, but actually they were spoken in a mood of anger. So they said, "Oh, Supreme Lord, oh, directly manifest Super Soul, do tell. Oh, you crest jewel of philosophical knowledge, oh, crest jewel of teachers of philosophical knowledge, you're a Tattva Gyan Shiromani. Philosophical knowledge means Gyan, Tattva Gyan, and Shiromani, Shiromani Pandit. Oh, Tattva Gyan is Shiromani Pandit, isn't it? Oh, Tattva Gyan is Shiromani Pandit. Oh, Crest Jewel, Shiromani Pandit, you know, Crest Jewel of teachers of philosophical knowledge, isn't it? Tattva Gyan is Shiromani Pandit. It's all in jest and with a good dose of coated with anger. Understanding that we have great attachment to our house, wealth, and family, as you have previously told Uddhava to instruct us when he bought your message from Mathura about 50 years ago, you said the same old rep, the same old song that Uddhava was singing of Atma Tattva Gyan. Again, don't you have you written any new songs? Don't you have any new material? You're the same old, same old? You're publishing the same book with a new cover? What is this? You previously had an Uddhava instruct us in this Atma Tattva Gyan, and now personally, right in front of our eyes, you are purifying our hearts with that pure knowledge to remove our ignorance. So we can understand by this act of compassion that you're pure love for us is certainly free from any motivation, then assuring that we get liberation. We understand you're loving us and you're very concerned and caring for us because you want us to get mukti, right? But how, we are just unintelligent, coward women, so how can we fix this type of knowledge in our hearts, gyan tattva siddhanta and atma aham brahmasmi? We don't know. And we can't even meditate steadily on your feet, which is the focus of realization for great souls. So please be merciful and do something to make that possible. Krishna, we must be suffering the reactions of our karma. So our minds are full of vikshepa and disturbance. So how is it possible for us very fallen conditioned souls with disturbed minds due to tamagun, and how can we ever meditate on your lotus feet, as you recommend? Because the yogis that you're comparing us to and telling us that practice this, and that your feet are the object of meditation for those yogis, they are extremely wise and sattvic by nature, and pure-hearted and self-controlled. But we are not yogis. We are simply abalaman. We are simply weak-minded women. Please do something so we can get free from this deep well of suffering in material life. Griha mandakupam. So the gopis are a little spicy response here to Krishna's telling them they should meditate. And Vishnu says, here's another meaning of the gopis' statements, what they said about it's very compassionate and kind of you to give us this Atma Tattva Gyan. And Vishnu says they could also, their words could also be taken to mean, O sun, Surya, who destroys the darkness of ignorance, Krishna Surya Sama Maya Hai Andhakara, we are scorched by the heat of your philosophical knowledge. Your just knowledge you're giving us is burning us alive. Why? How so? Because we are chakoris. Birds who live only on the moonlight, meditating from the moon of your beautiful, radiant Krishna Chandra lotus face. Therefore, come back to Vrindavan and bring us to life with your pastimes like Ras Lila. The masters of yoga meditate upon your lotus feet within their hearts, as you have said, and as you have recommended us to do. But we would rather hold your lotus feet above our hearts, on our breasts. Because you're saying, you should, as yogis, they become free from all contamination, they attain nectar of my devotional service, liberation, simply by meditating on my feet within the core of their hearts, and they see my lotus feet with the 19 marks, and this way they get free from the bonds of ignorance and come liberated from birth and death. So you should do the same. They say, no, really, we don't want to meditate on your lotus feet in our hearts. Because we're not very good at meditation. We're very simple, practical girls. We simply want to hold your feet. Okay, you talked about hearts. We want to hold your feet on our hearts, which means on our breasts. Caress into our breasts and meditate on your feet in that way. So to do that, you please come to Vrindavan so we can perform the meditation which you have recommended. Because you said we recommended and guided us that we should meditate in our hearts on your feet. So we will meditate your feet on our hearts instead of your feet in our hearts. So bring your feet back to Braj, as we said earlier, so we can perform the recommended yoga meditation practice which you have suggested. Only by holding them there will we be able to maintain our lives, not otherwise. So now they say, please, you come to Vrindavan. We want you to meditate there. But if Krishna says, why don't you come with me? You're suggesting I come back to Vrindavan to be with you. Why don't you come with me? Hop on my chariot. Come on, let's go. Come with me back to Dwarka and we can enjoy there. And the gopis say, Vrindavan is our home. And we are too attached to our homes to take up residence elsewhere. It is there alone that you attract us by wearing peacock feathers in your turban and playing enchanting music on your flute. We can be saved only by seeing you in Braj, and not by any other kind of philosophical knowledge, atma-tattva-gyan, or any kind of meditative process which you may recommend. So this is the gopis' reply to their Krishna's instructions on gyan and meditation, yoga and gyan. Because bhakti is way beyond yoga and gyan, and these are the supreme bhakti yogis, the gopis. So they're saying, listen, we don't buy it. So now the verse here in chapter 83, verse 1, this chapter 83 is Draupadi meets the queens of Krishna. So the Pandavas meet the devotees from Dwarka, all those queens that they had never met before. So I asked a question, and the gopis were very distraught and anguished there when they met Krishna. So how did he show them his mercy? And Shukadeva alludes to that by saying that in this verse, in the first verse, 83.1, he gives the answer to that question. Tatanu griya bhagavan gopinam sa gurur gati yudhishthiram atapricat sarvam cha sridovayam. Krishna, the spiritual master of the gopis, gopi guru, the gopinam sa guru gati, and the very purpose of their life, the gati, showed them his mercy. Then Krishna met with Yudhisthira and inquired from them about their welfare. So now, he's saying this, that's all he says. It says that he showed his mercy to the gopis. That's all. Just says he showed them mercy. Then now, no more discussion of the gopis, and he's with Draupadi and the Pandavas and all those devotees like that. So then the question is, well, how did he? It just says that he showed them mercy. He was speaking to them so like this. So what did Krishna do? It says two things in this verse. One, it says he showed the gopis his mercy, and the other says that he inquired about the welfare of Yudhisthira. So what did Krishna do to show his mercy? Then it says that after speaking his philosophy and hearing the gopis' plea that he returned to Vrindavan with his feet, then Krishna embraced all of them. He tightly embraced all the gopis to his chest, beginning with Radharani, who had tearful eyes. Then he told Uddhava that he should bring bath water and ornaments there. And then Krishna offered them to the gopis. Then he spent the night there secretly with the gopis. So Krishna had a very special place where he was living, and which facilitated that not only did he spend that night with the gopis, but he spent every night with the gopis. for 3 months. And he had a special arrangement there at Kurukshetra. Jiva Goswami says that at Kurukshetra, Krishna had a palatial room for taking bath with a solitary room attached. And next to Krishna's room was Uddhava's room. But this room could not be seen from outside. So Krishna's bathroom, private bathroom, could not be seen. He had like a large private bathroom, like large, like a swimming pool. But when you saw the house, you would just see Krishna's room and Uddhava's room. So we're judged by our association. So if I'm living with some dacoit or gunda or thief, then some people might think, well, maybe he goes out at night and robs with him also. But Krishna is living in Uddhava, the direct disciple of Brihaspati, and the greatest, and his own minister coming from Dwarka, famous Brahmin and advisor, and most reputed and respected person among the Brishnis, practically non-different from Krishna. So there's no, if you're moving around Uddhava, there's no question that you're doing anything wrong or anything bad. And Uddhava is 40 years older than he is, so Krishna, he's keeping his eye, he's like a chaperone, and he's keeping his eye on Krishna, nothing else. So no one's worried about, oh, Krishna lives there. But unseen by anyone else, there was an attached bath, which was quite large. This is, of course, a campsite. It's a temporary arrangement to live there. They stayed there for 3 months. So he sent Uddhava out to get bath water. He sent Uddhava out to get bath water for all the gopis and ornaments and anjans. So Krishna would spend every night there with the gopis in his private room, unseen by others. Then they would bathe, and then they would get dressed, and all that was arranged. So it says that since the so-called husbands of the Braja Gopis had not come to Kurukshetra, because they were engaged back in Braj guarding the boys and cows, as you heard earlier, then no one actually knew, or no one was aware that every night Krishna met the Braja Gopis. They went out there secretly, because they were all together. All the gopis were staying by themselves. There was no husbands there. Where are you going? Hey, oh no, I'm going. No, you can't go. Stay home. There's no obstacles. Not no one to stop them. So on the first night, they were inclined. They were when they that first night they spent with Krishna Kurukshetra. The gopis were too much feeling the effect of the separation for 60 years, and they couldn't forget that. So they couldn't enjoy very blissful pastimes. They were still thinking, why did he leave? And so, but then after that, after overcoming their suffering on that first night, on subsequent nights they continued to enjoy the most fulfilling and enriched pastimes of intimacy throughout the night. As long as Krishna stayed in Kurukshetra, he enjoyed his pastimes with each gopi, each night, each second, in private, fulfilling all the desires that arose in their hearts. So this is a very happy ending to the Leela of Krishna meeting the gopis at Kurukshetra. There's so much separation, so it's one of those movies with a happy ending. That every single night and every single second he spent in private with the gopis, satisfying their every wish and whim, the most intimate exchanges of love and intimacy. And though Krishna and the Braja Gopis met constantly, they were unsatisfied, because the idea of future separations dwelled in their hearts. So this is this verse is Jiva Goswami is talking about the concept of union and separation, separation and union. When we're having union with the beloved, and we're directly associating in some Vogue Leela, swinging together, eating together, walking together, playing together, enjoying together, whatever together, playing, drinking honey wine, or playing, or gambling, or exchanging, speaking riddles and funny talks back and forth, then there's always the possibility in the back of the mind, oh, soon it'll be over, the sun will rise, we'll have to go separate ways, Krishna will go to Nandagram, we'll go to Yavatar Varsana, and all the fun will end, and the party will be over, and oh, then when will we again meet? That's even when they're in union. So there's separation and union. Separation, because the anticipation, oh, it'll be soon over, and Then when one is separated, there's separation and union, and union and separation. When they're separated, oh, when will I see Krishna? I miss him so much. I want to see him. And then you go to sleep, and then you see, oh, there he is. There he is. Swapna Vilas. Swapna Vilas Amritam. Relishing so much nectar and sweetness and intimacy of dreams. Krishna was there. And see, then you wake up. Oh, Sakhi. Listen, oh, Sakhi Lalita. I had this dream last night of Shyam. Really? Yeah. Well, what happened? Well, see, he was playing his flute and he called my name. And I ran out to the Rasa Stali and I got there before anyone else. And then this, oh, really? And then, so they're having this. So there's union even in separation. So though Krishna protected the gopis who were hidden from all the others at Kurukshetra, so he was enjoying with them, but he protected their chastity. And he was enjoying with them at night, but then in the daytime, all the senior respectable ladies have gathered there at Kurukshetra, the most respectable ladies like the queens of Dwarka. They were worshipping those gopis and honoring them for all their qualities, and they were praising them with different verses which are mentioned in chapter 83. And it's a very sweet pastime, telling so many things about the Lord and his devotees. And this is a way we pass our time. Machita mat gata pranas bodha yantas parasparam gata yantas chamam nityam tushanti cha ramanti cha ramanti. Everyone in this world is seeking ramant, raman, raman. Raman means union, means enjoyment, man, woman, conjugal union, conjugal love. But Krishna's telling in Bhagavad Gita that one can have the same ecstasy, the same experience, and more so, unending Raman, Nitya Raman, Nitya Raman, by hearing Harikatha in association with devotees. The pleasure, the satisfaction, the fulfillment, the joy, the charm, the sweetness, the excitement, everything that loving relationship brings, one can have by hearing about the loving relationships of Krishna with the gopis. Machita matkata pranas bodha yantas parasparam kata yantas chamam nityam. By always nitya kata, nitya Krishna kata, by always hearing Krishna kata. And this, there's different categories of Krishna kata. There's sambandha kata, videya kata, and there's prayojana kata. Many times we engage in kata, Krishna kata, what we call Krishna kata. But it revolves about five subjects. It's sambandha, there's sambandha. So sambandha kata could be considered this way. We give lots of classes in Bhagavad Gita. And Bhagavad Gita deals with panchatattva, with the panchatattva, the five subjects of Bhagavad Gita. So then we give classes on Gita which are sambandha tattva. So it's Krishna kata, it's about Krishna, the jiva, the world. So there's five subjects, panchatattva. There's Ishvara tattva, who is God. So there's classes about who is God. That's Krishna kata. And then there's jiva tattva, who is a jiva. So jiva tattva kata. Topics about the hinal shminyata dehi komaram yovanam jara. The jiva is passing this body, he's eternal, he's never broken by the, withered by the wind, moistened by the water, this and that. So then there's prakriti tattva kata, talking about the material world, the material nature and creation, this, that, the other thing, destruction. And Bhagavat tattva or Ishvara tattva, then kala, time factor, then. So, and then there's some discussions about the practice, the sadhana abhyas, sadhana abhyas kata, how to chant, how to do puja, how to do archan, Vaishnava behavior, Vaishnava tattva, Vaishnava tattva kata, classes about, oh, behave like this and behave like that, avoid the 10 offenses, the holy name, avoid the seva parasa deities, avoid the dasa, dhamma parasa, don't make the 10 offenses, the holy, don't commit the 10 offenses, the holy dham. All these do's and all these don'ts and all this type of kata. But then the most enriching, topmost type of kata is the abhideya, the prayojana kata. And these are the topics about the rasa-filled pastimes of Radha and Krishna. Rasa-shastras, rasa-tattva. Rasa-tattva kata. Where you hear the pure, unadulterated discussions of Radha and Krishna and their pastimes in union and separation. In Braj, and Kurukshetra is a special place. And the Snat Kumara Samhita, the the four Kumaras are talking about three forms of Radharani and three forms of Krishna. There's Purnatam Bhagavan, and then there's Purnatara Bhagavan and Purna Bhagavan. Purna Bhagavan, Dwarka. Purnatara Bhagavan, Mathura. And then Purnatam Bhagavan in Braj. Krishna's two Bhagavan Swayam. There's also three, if there's three forms of Bhagavan, there must be three forms of Bhagavati. Bhagavati is Shakti. So Shakti is Radharani. So she has Samyogini Radha, Kirtidasuta Radha, or Vrishabhanandini Radha, and Vyogini Radha. So Radha is eternally in Vrindavan, Vrindavanam Prityaja Tadekam Paramekat Gachati. What is it? Vrindavanam Prityaja Paramekam Nagachati. That Krishna doesn't take a step out of Vrindavan, and neither does Radharani. So who goes to Mathura? Who goes to Dwarka? Because sometimes the gopis go to Dwarka. We're going to Dwarka is Vyogini Radha, and going to Kurukshetra is Samyogini Radha. It's a different form. It's Radha, but in a different bhava, different mood, and they speak and act in different ways. But the original form is always here. Now, these are minute points of tattva. But when we hear these discussions, now we're hearing about Radharani and Krishna, Purna Bhagavan, Sri Krishna from Dwarka. However, Jiva Goswami makes a distinction, and when he got there, then immediately he reverted to Brajabhav. He immediately became Purnatam Bhagavan. And he adopted his mood of Krishna and Vrindavan, because gopis have no relationship with Dwarkadish. So this is an interesting how they exchanged there, and how he preached to them, similar to how he preached to them in the Rasa dance. Oh, you know, meditate on me, go home, meditate on me. Same verse, Mahi Hidam Bhutanam. So these topics, when we hear these topics, it's not telling us about birth and death, it's not telling us about the soul, it's not telling us about how to chant japa or how to behave. It's simply telling us about our ishta, about our param gati. It's telling us about Vrindavan, it's telling us about Krishna and the gopis. And we're hearing that, and this is the supreme purifying gita, the most purifying gita. The topmost subject, the topmost form of God, the topmost form of Shakti, the topmost dham, the topmost exchange of love. Madhurya Prem, Parakiya Bhav. So this is topmost, which means most powerful, most purifying, most attractive, most compelling, most attaching, and most satisfying, and most relishable, and most rasa-filled. So this is rasa-kata. We simply hear, get together and hear, okay, let's get together and let's read a pastime, Julan Yatra from Vrindavan, Ananda Vrindavan Champu. I just hear and relish. So this relish, as one repeatedly does this relish, then he experiences that effect of that Krishna is talking about, machitta makata pranas. That their prana, that the machitta, the prana of the devotees, their very life force, is fixed in me. That's, I believe, one of the nutshell verses that's in the Bhagavad Gita. They call it Chatushloki. The Bhagavad Gita, 10, 8, 9, 10, 11. This is 10, 9. Much chitta mad gata prana bodhayantak parasparam gata yantash chamam nityam tushyanti cha ramanti cha. Much chitta, the chitta, mad, mam, the chitta of devotees, the consciousness, the heart, the mind, the chitta of the devotees is saturated with me. Cheto Dharvanam Arjanam Bhava Mahadavagni Navapanam. We purify our consciousness for what? To put Krishna there. We want Krishna in our chitta, in our consciousness. So that's why we chant, that's why we do Navavidu Bhakti, Shravanam Kirtan Vishnu Smaranam, to purify the clutter and remove all the obstacles and dirt and mal so that Krishna can sit there. Kam Krodh Lo Mohamat Sari, it all has to go and be cleansed and removed and effaced from our chitta consciousness, then Vasudev, that Vasudev Chit, that playful, beautiful, all-accommodating, pure consciousness can be established in our hearts when they become margin, pure, Chaitanya-dharpana margin, pure, cleansed. Then Krishna will sit there. So Krishna occupies the heart and consciousness, the devotees, and Madgata Prana. Their lives are devoted to me, their prana, Gata Prana, Mam Gata Prana, their prana, their life force goes to me. It's going to me. The goal, gata pranam gati, topmost goal. So gata pran means their pran, their energy, their life, their breath is directed towards me. I'm inhaling for Krishna, I'm exhaling for Krishna. Once I was describing some yoga techniques, I said when we inhale, we should inhale Radha and exhale Sham. You know, we should meditate. Radha is coming in my nostrils and Sham is going out. Radha. It's like this. Yeah, it's called Hare Krishna, Hare Ram, Radha Krishna, Pranayam. Hare Krishna, Hare Ram, Radha Krishna, Pranayam. So when you're doing, so there's three parts to yoga and pranayam. There's inhalation, rechaka, and kumbhaka, and whatever it is. Inhaling, exhaling, and holding. So inhale Radha, then hold and chant Hare Krishna mantra. Hold for three Hare Krishna mantras, and exhale for five shams. Inhale for 10 Radhas, a count of 10 Radhas, Radha, Radha, Radha. And then you hold for 30, you know, it's 10, 30, it's like 10, 20, 30 or something. Hold for 20 and exhale for 30. So then you hold for four Hare Krishna mantras, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, holding the breath. Then exhale, Sham, for, you know, 30, count to 30, Sham, Sham. Like Hare Krishna, Hare Ram, Radha Sham, Pranayam. So this way, our prana, matgata prana, our prana, our matgata prana, our lives are devoted to me, our prana is fixed to me. Then what happens? Then this is bodhayanta. Bodhayanta means they preach, they speak. Parasparam means among themselves. So the devotees are Krishna pran. Krishna is their Praneshwara. Radharani is their Praneshwari. Praneshwari Radha, Praneshwara Sham. So our life force, our life goal is Radha and Krishna. And our consciousness is Radha and Krishna. So what do we do when we get together? Bodhiyantak Parasparam. Parasparam, they get together and they talk about Radha and Krishna. They're Praneshwara and Praneshwari. And that, what is that? That's Gata. Gata Yantas. Gata Yantas Tamam Nityam. They talk about me. So I am Sambandha Tattva Kata, I am Abhideya Tattva Kata, and I am Prayojana Tattva Kata. Vraja Prema Kata, Vraja Prema Rasa Kata. This is required. Ras, the plant, the Bhakti Lata is a plant. It grows with sunlight and water. The sunlight is the sun, Guru Shiksha, Bhagavan Shiksha. That's the sunlight. And the moonlight is Ras. Moonlight gives Ras, taste, flavor, nourishment. I become the moon and supply the taste of the taste to all the vegetables. Krishna tells in Gita, I become the moon, and by my moonlight I supply and I create taste in all the sabjis and vegetables. It's from the moonlight. So moonlight gives taste. So moonlight is the bhakti lata, the plant. A plant needs sun and moon. Sun gives ultraviolet rays and nourishes the leaves and growth of the stems and leaves and flowers and fruits. But now there's a fruit, or now there's a tomato or mango. What does the moon do? The moon rays give ras, taste, ruchi, flavor, satisfaction. What's a mango without taste? It's yellow pulp, isn't it? What's a tomato without taste? It's red pulp, yes? So what's essential, the tomato or the taste? The taste, the sweetness. So we're after sweetness and taste, we're not after form. So the bhakti lata, the external form, which is maintained and sustained and necessary for all the ras to manifest, that rupam of the bhakti is the sunshine. The sunshine is a guru shiksha, the teachings of guru. The guru is as hot as a thunderbolt, or as soft as, or as cool as a rose, right? You can be as hot as a thunderbolt. A thunderbolt is hot, hits your house and burns down. That's hot. Hits a tree and burns it. So a guru can be as hot as a thunderbolt or as cool as a rose. If you take some fresh roses and put on your eyes, it feels very cooling. Generally, it's told in a different way, isn't it? Guru is as hard as a thunderbolt and soft as a rose. Have you ever heard this phrase?
Yes.
And the Sanskrit is katora, means hard. Now I'm changing it. The guru is as hot as a thunderbolt or as cool as a rose. So the hot rays of the guru are the sunshine, rebuking, chastisement, or encouraging. Or is guru shiksha and Krishna shiksha, Bhagavad Gita, Krishna shiksha, Kora shiksha, Bola Krishna, Vajra Krishna shiksha. But then, so Lata, Bhakti Lata, needs sunshine. Without sunshine, it doesn't grow, it doesn't get strong. So you have to have a strong plant and a healthy plant, so it needs Shiksha. But you need a tasty plant. You need a very tasty plant, so then the moon is required. So the moon is, the moon rays is Prayojana Kata, Rasa Kata. This is the moon rays which nourishes the Bhakti Lata. The Bhakti Lata does not get the moon rays of this Rasa Kata from Krishna Chandra's lotus face and Krishna Chandra's lotus lips, then it will be form, rupam, but not vastu. And I gave you an analogy yesterday. There's one insect called Gorma insect. And its nature is it goes inside a bamboo tree. There's some bamboo tree. And eats everything inside, like termites sometimes. They go inside the wood. They eat everything the inside, because the inside is soft. The outside is hard. There's lacquer and varnish. So they go inside, it's soft. They eat up everything. And one day you sit on the bed and you go, hey, what's this? You know, have you been away for a couple of years? And you go to your farmhouse and you sit on the bed and it just collapses. Because the legs and the cross pieces looked like the bed. That varnish was there, it was painted brown. But inside, the whole core of the thing was eaten to bits. So this gorma insect gets in there. So devotees externally look like a devotee, but inside they've been eaten. Their whole entire inside, the core of their devotion has been eaten by bhog and by enjoyment. The two witches, the pishachis, the witches of mukti and bhukti, bhukti mukti pishachi. They're like pishachi means witches. So therefore, it's very important not just to get the sunshine of shiksha and shiksha sambandhakata to maintain the external bhakti lata. You know, very, very strong, very big devotee. But inside there's no ras, there's no taste, there's no vastu. There's rupam and vastu. Rupam is the form and vastu is the essence. Vastu. So it's so essential to hear this rasakata, raja rasakata. So we have dasama skanda, Krishna book, Ananda Navan Champu, Krishnaika Komudi, Sarta Darshini, Bhavana Sara Sangra, Govinda Lilamrita, Krishna Bhavan Amrita, Gopal Champu, Stavavali, and Stavamala, and all these wonderful books. And this is just as important. In the daytime, the sunshine nourishes the lata, the creepers, the plants, the trees. In the nighttime, the moon. So in the daytime, we need two lights in our life. Two lights we need in our life, the light of the sun and the light of the moon. Sambandha tattva kata, avinaya tattva kata, and rasa kata, prayojana kata. So a healthy bhakti lata needs two types of light, sunlight and moonlight. Mm. It's a very nice point. So this simply, okay, today I'm going to give a discussion on controlling the mind. Forget it. Today we're going to read Krishna's pastimes and discuss the tikkas from Vishnu Chakravarti. Relish. And then he's saying, this is what they do. Kata yantas chamam nityam. This is eternal. The gopis are having kata. The gopis are having harikata. Venogita is harikata. Venogita is being spoken by the gopis in the spiritual world. Gopi geet, pranaya geet, brahma geet. This is kata, harikata. This is prayojan. It's all about the sweetness, the intimacy, the love, the rati, the bhavas. They're not having classes. Now listen, gopis. Listen to this verse. Matra sparshas tukantaya. We have to tolerate the heat and cold. And we're not these bodies. We're eternal spirit souls. We have to rise early. Go to Mangalarti. Chant 16 rounds. And water tulsi. And don't forget, don't eat any haldi rams. And don't eat any om sweets and doda. Everything should be Krishna prasad. Okay, gopis? All right. That's a good class. Thank you. Now, where's prasad? So this is nitya. Kata mam nityam. My kata is nitya. My kata is nitya. It means when you speak harikata, you become eternal. He says, kata yantash chamam nityam. Anyone who speaks my kata mam, he becomes eternal. I come inside him and make him eternal. He comes to me and lives with me eternally. And nitya dam, prema dam, Sri Vrindavan. And then what's the effect of all this nitya kata and harikata? And absorbing your prana me, absorbing your consciousness me. What is the effect? Ecstasy. Tushyanti. Satisfaction, fulfillment. Tushyanti cha romanti. He becomes tushyanti, satisfied, pleased. And romanti enjoys transcendental bliss. He enjoys 10 million times more ecstasy than in sex union, which is raman. Raman means sex union. Because sex union is not nitya. Sex union is asat, temporary and limited. Does sex union saturate your consciousness? It can to some extent. And your prana and your consciousness can be momentarily, to some extent, absorbed in such a mundane experience. But this is contaminating and binding, not purifying and liberating. It's contaminating and binding and not purifying and liberating. Krishna Katha is purifying and liberating, so we should spend all our time, as much time as possible, hearing about these sweet subjects of love. Because we want love, we want sweetness, we want fulfillment, and we want ecstasy. We want love, we want sweetness, we want fulfillment, and we want ecstasy. And this can be found in the pastimes of Radha and Krishna Vrindavan, the highest love, the highest ecstasy, the highest fulfillment, and the highest sweetness. Madhurya Purushottam Sri Krishna. Madhuri Radha. Madhuri Radha and Madhurya Sham and Madhurya Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai.